next meeting to order, policy. I believe we have a quorum. Next item is audience participation. Nobody signed up. And we'll go on to the minutes of the September 17th meeting. Any comments?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same. Motion passes. Staff reports, financial progress. Jason.
Okay, thank you. Financial progress report was attachment 3A in your folders. This report takes us through November 30th, so this is 5 months into our fiscal year, which starts July 1st. And if you look at line 10 at the bottom of the table, we've expended roughly 36% of the budget, so we're in very good shape, actually a little under budget this year in terms of where we are with our expenditures. Other than that, no hiccups or anything like that to report, and so we would request a motion to approve the financial progress report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next item is the technical progress report. Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll go over my piece, and then I'll cede to Jason on another issue. First of all, for the first time in 10 years, we have a long-range, as in more than two-year, transportation bill, federal transportation bill. The FAST Act, which stands for Fixing America's Surface Transportation Act, was signed, I believe, on December 7th or December 4th. It basically authorizes a good 5 years of federal funding for our programs, which is good news. It's 5 years, $305 billion. It's roughly 9% increase over MAP 21, which was the two-year bill we had before it. And basically, the 9% increase goes the first year. After that, it's an increase only by inflation. So we'll see a little bump, and then it'll stay kind of at that high 9% for the 5 years out. Another little interesting thing to note is that Congress, I think, recognized the importance of regions and MPOs. They are changing the allocations between the state and the locals for STP, which means whereas before it was a 50-50 split of the money that would go to the MPOs, now over the next 5 years it will increase by 1% towards the locals every year. So long story short, in 5 years, AMATS and our other MPOs in Ohio will be getting 55% of the pie, and the state will be getting 45% of the pie, which is a change from 50. So now, obviously, as you can imagine, with what we make, $20 million over 2 years in terms of funding, that extra 1% a year isn't going to be a huge windfall, but it's trending in the right direction and a real positive. The only other issue on the FAST Act, which is sort of interesting, is that as we have passed, I think, two resolutions supporting a 10-cent gas tax, that's not the direction that the federal government decided to go. Basically, the largest way that they're going to fill the void from the gas tax is they're going to cap the Federal Reserve surplus account at $10 billion and transfer the excess to a general fund that will go into transportation. That's going to save them $53 billion. And then they've got about eight other things that they're going to do to help get us to a zero to make sure the trust fund balances out, including transferring the leaky underground storage trust fund, which is $30 million, into the highway trust fund so that we can stay afloat. So they really did kind of nickel and dime to make sure we got $305 billion, but we do have it, and that will be positive. And I guess the other sweet irony is that as we're asking for applications and looking for funding, we're already asking for applications outside the year of the transportation bill, which will go through 2021. So we're looking at 21 and 22. But either way, we have reached out to ODOT to find out what they think our allocations will be to see if there's any increase potentially that we might see, at least in the short term. We will keep you posted on that. The only other thing locally for AMATS is we are starting our Connecting Communities initiative back up. We are going to get our Connecting Communities task force back together. The task force was generated from our Connecting Communities whole planning effort that we did in 2010. And If you're interested and you don't think you're on the committee, but you'd be interested, this is to give planning awards to communities for transportation land use plans. Let me know and we can get you on the committee, and we'll be discussing kind of how to move forward with that process. So we're looking forward to getting that underway next year as well. If there are no questions on that, or if there are, I'd be happy to answer.
Questions for Mr. Baker? Jason, you have some extra comments?
Yeah, I wanted to start with, a lot of you, I think, know that this is going to be my last meeting at the policy committee, which I have very mixed emotions about. I've really loved this job. I was telling Curtis earlier, my first policy committee meeting was September of 1998, which put me at 26 years old with a lot more hair and a lot less gray in it, but not from this job. I really love this job. It's going to be very hard to leave all of you, but I am looking forward to the opportunity. I got asked by Mayor-elect Horrigan of Akron to serve as the new Director of Planning and Urban Development, which is a job that I think I will very much believe in. And I've lived in Akron my whole life. I want to try to help the city and the new administration, so I'm very excited about that, but I've loved every minute of this job, in all honesty, and working with all of you. And my hope is that, although it will be in a way a little bit, it will be difficult in some ways, it will be nice to kind of focus on 62 square miles instead of 900 plus, but I hope that all the relationships that I've built with all of you can help us collaborate as much as possible, you know, intergovernmentally in the future. So I wanted to just real quickly kind of go through the process for succession here, if you had questions about that. So I went through this same process in 2008 when I became the director, when Ken Hansen, our previous director, left. So I've asked Curtis Baker to serve as the acting director effective January. Well, it'll be January 1st officially, but I don't think we'll have anything going on over the weekend. So January 4th when he comes into the office, and that way someone will be at the helm of the ship, so to speak. The hiring process, because the AMAT's employees are housed within the city of Akron, is actually a city of Akron hiring process, which is a little bit strange, but hopefully fortuitous for this situation, that the hiring authority for the AMAT's director is actually the Director of Planning and Urban Development for the city. So hopefully that will at least assure you that the person making the hiring decision will know about AMAT's and will have the best interests of the agency at heart. If you weren't really familiar with why that's the case, it goes way back to when AMAT's was created, but it's always been run as kind of a shared service where the city of Akron has an agreement with ODOT, and that agreement really specifies two main roles and responsibilities. So the city's job is to fund the operations of the staff, which includes having a staff and hiring a staff, and then ODOT's role is to reimburse the city for costs. So when I present that financial progress report to you about what we've spent, that's actually city of Akron money that's spent that is then reimbursed with the 80% federal funds, 10% state, in the 10% local dues that all of you pay. So that's the role in staffing up. Now, the policy committee's role, and this is, I think, worked well in the past and will continue to work well, has always been anything having to do with what AMATS actually does is a policy committee responsibility. So the work program, what you want the staff to prioritize or work on, and maybe most importantly, how federal money is actually spent on projects. So the city of Akron's role in that is nothing other than as one of the other 45 members that sits around the table for those decisions. I've got a lot of confidence in Curtis. I mean, my intent would be to have him become permanent when the civil service process goes through. But given that it's such an important role for all of you, if any of you have questions about it or concerns or anything that you want to raise, I mean, I'm moving across the street. I'll even have the same email address. Feel free to get a hold of me. I went to lunch with Gene here, incoming and outgoing chair. And, you know, if anybody does have more questions or concerns about the hiring process, feel free to reach out to the new chair, and we can coordinate however we need to. But I wanted to make sure it was transparent, or if you didn't think it was just a black box of how we make these decisions on the staffing. And so I guess I'll leave it at that. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Go ahead, Mickey.
First of all, thank you for opening the black box. I was around when you were appointed last time. I didn't get the benefit of that explanation. I appreciate it, so it's nice that everybody here has it as well. I have been, the last time when we went through this process, I expressed some frustration because I was a member of this committee like everybody sitting here, and that it just kind of seems to me that it's a bit of a disconnect that the members of this committee before me are responsible for virtually all the decisions that get made by AMATS, except for who the technical director is going to be. And I think that we ought to have some input into that selection process. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that either you or Curtis are not very appropriate people, qualified and good servants. That's not what I'm saying. But I just really believe that if we're going to be responsible for all the decisions that get made around here, we ought to have some of us, perhaps a small committee or something, be a part of that selection process. And I wanted to hear if anybody else felt that way about it.
Additional comments?
I guess I can speak up, because I kind of tend to agree that while Akron, payroll goes through Akron and everything, the technical director, it would seem like whoever is responsible for appointing would be the person that the technical director would have the most allegiance to. And not that we haven't done a great job. AMATS has done a fantastic job for our community. We've brought in a lot of federal money to keep our programs moving along. Our projects get done. Good project. But it would seem that it might be a little less contentious among all of the community members if they had some say in the director, some review process perhaps on an annual basis, so that the director got a hands-on feel for how this committee the director was doing. Everybody gets a review by somebody. You and I get reviewed, and many of us table by voters. But everybody gets reviewed, and attaboy, and a little list of things they could do better. And I think it would be appropriate if this committee had some sort of a subcommittee. Couldn't do it with a big group like this. It wouldn't be appropriate. No. But if there were some executive committee or something that's a part of a selection process and a part of an annual review, or something like that, I think it would be appropriate. And I do think, though, that in order to do that, a small committee would need to talk to the powers at Akron. Akron really has the agreement with ODOT, and so Akron would have to agree to somehow incorporate some activities from this committee into their process. That might be a little complicated. I don't know. Is the director service a pleasure, or is it civil service?
Oh, it's civil, and that's where I wanted to clarify that. That's where I definitely think it makes sense for, at any MPO, for the board to have comfort with who the director is. But in the case of the way that the bylaws and the current agreement are, just so you know and to be clear, having input won't be the same thing as actually being able to make the hiring decision, because it is a civil service position. It is chosen by the Director of Planning and Urban Development. The MPO director is reviewed, to Curtis's chagrin, will still be reviewed by me. So he does get a performance review. But I think you're raising really good questions that they do cut, like lots of other MPOs are set up differently. So the typical MPO, there are MPOs that are housed within a local government, whether it's a county or a city. There are also standalone MPOs. Usually in those MPOs, the MPO director actually works at the pleasure of the board. So a lot of my counterparts around the state actually have a contract with the board. And so that hiring is done directly through the board. And there are kind of costs and benefits to both approaches, right? I think the one thing that's nice about having the MPO housed within an existing local government is it's a shared service. AMAT's costs are a lot lower because they're covered by, if we need legal help, it's the City of Akron's Law Department or Finance or Personnel. If it were to be a standalone MPO, you would be looking at dues going up quite a bit because there would be a lot more overhead. But that's a model that a lot of other MPOs have chosen to follow, too. I think the way it evolved, if you want a lot of the backstory, is just even going back to when we were created in 1962. It was originally a division of the City of Akron's Planning Department, and the officials at the time decided to keep that, and it's one of those things that hasn't really changed. The other wild card, just in the case of full transparency, I don't anticipate this, but as a lot of you know, the City of Akron is doing a full-scale review of all of its functions and all of its divisions and departments. And although I haven't heard anything about that, it's always possible the city may want to change the way that the current process works unilaterally on its own, too. So I don't have any reason to think that's the case, but that just would be another thing that would be going on in the background.
I would think that, quite frankly, if we have discussions with Akron, included in those discussions should be that this is a high level enough position that it should be an appointment and not a civil service job. And I know that that's some work for Akron to do through their process, but it could be done. I do it at the county when I find that a position is of a high enough and sensitive enough position that it should be served at the pleasure rather than to be a permanent appointment. It really does tend to not hurt an employee. I haven't had a single employee we've transitioned to that I've needed to get rid of. And it's just a little different attitude that you get from it. That would be something that I think if we were to proceed and have a talk to Akron, one of the things we should talk about. Quite frankly, I mean, most of us, we sit in this board, we kind of run this thing, but it's almost on automatic. You know, there isn't a whole lot to do, and so if you do start to get a little more involved here, this committee can maybe expect to have a little more to do. So that's something else to think about, is to where you're at as a group, and you like kind of sitting back and have short meetings, or are you interested in attending some other committee meetings that would be necessary if you're going to get more involved in how this organization is run?
Jason, I guess I don't think this system's broke, so I really don't want to fix it. But I understand what you were both saying. I think being an employee, I don't want to take over the employee. I don't want this group to have an employee. I don't want to have a separate organization, I think, the City of Akron. But I do think this group, if we have any recourse or if we don't like what's going on at the top, we meet as a body, and then we can only go to the City of Akron and say, Mr. Planning Director, we think this way AMS is being ran is not appropriate, or he's saying something that shouldn't be said, either reprimand him or give us a new chairperson. I don't want to take over the employee, and if it's civil servant, if you just have the ability to appoint a civil servant, I'd like to know how to do that unless it's in the Akron Charter without doing an open test.
I still have to do that. So even though Curtis will be the acting, and I'd like to see him succeed me, I'll still have to post an actual call for employment. I'll get applicants. If you guys know anything about Akron's civil service process, which is fair to say is not the most nimble process of all, it will take a long time. I will only get to interview the top three people. They'll have to take a test. So it does go through, for good or for bad, it goes through what in some ways might be a good level of vetting and other ways may be overly cumbersome too, but it will go through that process, and that's true of any member of our staff. Every member of our staff is a civil service employee, just like the director. It's just a higher pay range.
One second. Amy, you had a comment?
I'm good.
Okay.
Gene, I was going to say, when I was at ODOT, I had the opportunity to work with multiple organizations like this, and they were set up differently. And quite frankly, I don't think I can say we never had real issues with they each have advantages, you know. But you're right, you'd be taking on a whole different responsibility as far as an employee and a staff and everything. But it lot goes back to who sits over there, you know, in that position. Certainly Curtis, you know, knows how things have operated here, and I think they've operated pretty smooth, actually. But the other groups I've worked with, where they work directly for that board, it does take on a different amount of responsibility. So you might want to think about that, because it's more than just the director. You know, there's usually staff and budgets, and it turns into a whole different thing. That's probably why ODOT didn't want to be in the middle of it all. I don't know.
I've been involved with AMAT since probably 1969. I was a co-op working for Akron, signed to AMAT. After that, Portage County, Akron Canton Airport, and then the city of Canton, and now as an elected county engineer. But like I said, it works fine, but there have been some rumblings that you know, employees are all Akron employees. There's no say on the part of the board over the folks that are running it. And so I just personally think if there's some way to sit down with Akron and have a little bit of discussion, maybe it doesn't even have to necessarily turn out to be an official role, but something worth looking into.
You know, I was just talking to Gene. That is something, like I said a couple of minutes ago, I would certainly be open to meeting with whomever from this group that either the chair would want to appoint or whatever. However, come January 4th, those are definitely your decisions to make completely. But I'm very open to, you know, if you guys want to talk about that whole relationship, and I think you'd at least have the advantage of talking to someone who understands what AMATS is and actually how that relationship works. So my door, literally and figuratively, will definitely be open for those conversations.
Yeah, I'll do a trip. I've been with this group for about past 8 years since I've been mayor of Ireland. I've had tremendous success. I know Glenn Ruska came on board when he was mayor, and generously supported by AMATS brothers and sisters in this organization. And I kind of agree with what Dave said. If it's a program to fix it, and Glenn knows what I'm talking about when he gets his law director fired by council out from under him. So, and I understand what Alan had said when he mentioned it. You know, kind of protect the situation. We've been very lucky that we've been able to help each other as communities out. There were, and I will say this, when I first came on the board, very early on, there was some kind of anti-Akron stuff going on, which I thought was wrong. There was a handful of hiring that said that we shouldn't do this. But in any event, I've been very, very pleased with this organization. I understand that the concern that we've been very lucky, but that doesn't guarantee anything. So I don't know how mechanically we can put in a decision with Mickey down and discuss, but we're just a small community. We've done very well with him, and so I just have just want to let you know that I have no complaints. But I will say this. Communities that have not gained from AMATS, so the communities that aren't here, I'm not representing. So I'm here. I'm, you know,
we're here and we participate, and that's important. That's my view.
Mayor?
I've been involved in a lot of different committees with AMAS, and once in a while, it'd be nice if somebody voted no, instead of rubber stamping everything all the time. And just like Mayor Klein just said here, you know, once in a while, that's where your checks and balances are, right there. If you don't like it, vote no. And I see too many people all the time voting yes. And I've wanted to vote no on a couple of times, but I knew I was going to be one myself. But it's okay to vote no.
I did once. It's okay.
Didn't hurt for long. You didn't get funded either, did you?
No, it wasn't there. It was about the tax, the gas tax. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Thanks, Gene.
Any other comments at this point? I don't think we can entertain a motion if there's one to come forward out of this discussion until new business. Item C, 3C. I think is where we're at. AMAT's federal funds report.
Thank you. Referring to our table, the last page of the statement was paid off. That was the year 2016. There's a table here, too, you can see in 2017, there's a lot of projects that we moved out of over here. 16 was kind of cleaned up, so we can have this call. We had a lot of projects out there. We were able to train the CIP, and what we've been able to do over the past 6 months or so is work with a number of other MPOs. Get enough trades with them so that we have about $7.5 million of trades to bring back all those projects that we moved out. We still have out there $1.6 million in green, that's the right away phase. Still want to keep that there for the time so they can bring that back in. We're also finalizing one of our trades with Columbus. That's the $1.6 million that you see out in 17 for single investment on phase one. To bring that back in. And then also, we had a private review meeting a couple Fridays ago, and found out if you look at this fiscal year 16, there's quite a number of these projects in the fourth quarter. We're still on schedule to sell in this fiscal year, even though there's quite a number of them. And with our trades, funding trades, we can only trade as much as we can pay back the next fiscal year. Look at the back page, you see in 2017 we're about 7,000. We can't trade any more than 16. We're up against them all. We're back to the following year. And then the other table that's attached to one page in the middle, this is the CMAC listing of projects that we submitted to Columbus. We'll call back in September. We had a meeting, and this is the prioritized list of projects that we have out in Columbus. At the time, did was figure the normal amount of S&P for the CMAC funds that we would get would take us down to the project number 3, part of the request of 4 buses. At the time, it looked like we'd only get partially fund 1 bus. When we went down to Columbus, we were able to fully fund 2 of those buses. So this is the list. The committee that finally approved this met last week and did approve this list. And then now I think it just goes to ODOT, just for their information. So we'll be coming back in January to approve these top 10 projects for funding. And then lastly, new round of funding for STP, CAP, the resurfacing projects. CAP TFD subcommittee met earlier this week. And again, looking at the applications, we had 108. Projects that were spent for funding requesting $133 million. We have about $19 million spent this year in 2021 and 2022. So the TFP subcommittee still is scheduled to meet one more time after the holidays to finalize the recommendations. And then those recommendations will pass this committee to the end of the year.
Any questions?
I did want to just recognize Victor He had mentioned this briefly, but we, as a lot of you know, we were very over-programmed, which was a good thing. But the challenge of over-programming is you have to find the money or the projects will slip into future fiscal years. And he really did a great job of beating the bushes. And if you see on the first page of that memo, we were able to round up $7.5 million from other MPOs that weren't spending all their money in that fiscal year, and we were able to bring it into our program. So the good news is we didn't really have to shift around any more projects than we absolutely had to, and they'll continue to be on time and budget. So not that I want to compete directly with the other MPOs, but I think we were the early bird, and we got the worm on this one. So
thank you. Item 4, 2015 pedestrian plan for discussion. Gary?
I'll be presenting attachment 4A. The 2015 pedestrian plan is an update of the original plan that AMATS created 3 years ago. The new plan seeks to build upon the original plan. In developing this item, we had two purposes. First, we wanted to create a significant planning resource for communities that are considering pedestrian improvements within their respective areas. And secondly, we wanted to craft a broad vision statement identifying what sort of pedestrian networks that we at AMATS feel that we should be pursuing as a region. As we began developing this item, we identified three areas of improvement for our region's pedestrian networks. And those areas were safety, connectivity, and vibrancy, and I'll touch on each of them briefly. Safety is a major consideration for pedestrians as they make the choice to walk along or across a roadway. Underscoring the need for safe pedestrian systems is our 2012-2014 crash report. In that report, we found that of the 464 pedestrian vehicle crashes that occurred in our area during the period, 409 or 88% of those resulted in an injury. 10 of those actually resulted in a fatality. That may not sound like a lot, but when you consider that those 10 represent more than 8% of all the crash fatalities in our region and our area during that time, clearly there's need for improvement. What we are doing is encouraging communities to consider three safety practices, and those are road diets, sidewalks, and crosswalks. And more about that is contained in the report. Connectivity, the second area of improvement, refers to the extent that pedestrian networks such as streets, sidewalks, and trails actually link people to their destinations. Direct connections encourage travel by foot rather than by car, and the plan addresses some of the suburban connectivity issues we have in our region. We're actively encouraging communities and, to a certain extent, developers to consider pedestrian-friendly land use designs. The third area of improvement, and quite possibly my favorite, is vibrancy. Vibrancy concerns making the experience of walking an enjoyable one. Here at AMATS believe that our pedestrian networks shouldn't just accommodate people, they should actually invite people to walk. And to do that, we're encouraging such practices as streetscaping and landscaping, public art, street furniture. Of course, as I just mentioned, pedestrian-friendly land use design, also pedestrian-friendly parking designs. Excellent examples of the practices I'm talking about can be found in Cuyahoga Falls' Portage Crossing area and Kent's Acorn Alley areas. The plan does include analyses of existing conditions and also forecast of unfolding trends in our areas, but especially with regards to population and employment, all of which will have an impact on our pedestrian networks. Other data included in the plan include the 2015 sidewalk inventory and more references to the crash report that is mentioned earlier. We didn't just prepare an item, though, that presents a bunch of feel-good strategies. We did identify four tools of implementation currently available to communities, and those tools are Complete Street Principles, the AMATS Connecting Communities Initiative, the AMATS Transportation Alternatives Program, which will provide funding for some pedestrian improvements, provided they meet set criteria, and the Safe Routes to School Program. This item has been available for review and comment on our website since November the 6th, and we did submit it to our Citizens Involvement Committee for review and comment, and we received some pretty significant comments during that meeting. The one that I think is the most significant was offered by a member of the pedestrian advocacy group Streets for All, he noted that he felt that the plan did not fully address the unique needs of our region's minority and elderly populations, and he urged us to refer to a report by Streets Smart Growth America called Dangerous by Design, and we relied on that report to update our plan accordingly. This item was presented to the Annex Technical Advisory Committee last week, and it was approved with one objection. And if this item is approved by the committee today, it will be used by Annex as an input into the upcoming regional transportation plan. And if you have any comments, we'll be glad to try to address those now.
The CAP scoring included in the report, has that changed since the last report, or is that scoring still in?
It was not in the previous plan, but that is the current scoring. I think that's what we see in the current plan.
But no change to the current policy that we adopted.
Oh, no, no, no. That's what is our, that's what's adopted by the committee currently.
We're having a little discussion here under the TAC agenda. It was for a motion, and under mine it said for discussion. So I think you need a motion.
It was a motion, right, Kelly? Yeah. Yeah.
They put these trip hazards in front.
We just do that to see if the chair is paying attention.
Yeah. You need a motion to accept it?
A motion to accept the draft plan.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion.
You had mentioned that you wanted to add to include problems for LDD and the handicap. Now, that's not mentioned in this report. The approving of this will not, will that mean that we can still go ahead with that or not? That's my question.
Did you hear the question? She was asking if the report draft includes the information reference LDD.
And handicap.
And handicap.
Yes, the elderly and minority populations are addressed in there.
Okay, that was my only question, because someone, from the way you talked, I thought this was something just brought up last week and wasn't included. Okay.
I think you answered her question, okay. That it is included in the current plan.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
Any other questions? No further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Motion carries. I should say discussion carries. item 5, new business. Hearing no new business, I would like to add from the discussions at lunch with the oncoming chair that I think that the potential of correcting a lot of what was probably misconceptions over decades. I sat as the chair when Ken left and Jason came on board, and it's kind of like they were joking, don't ever put me back in chair unless you want to lose your job. So the bottom line is there is misconceptions, but I think it would behoove us all to become more informed. I think a lot of it will go away, and I would love to see a few people step up, whether it's both Mr. Brubaker and Mr. Marazzi and maybe the vice chair and chair, and meet with our new planning director or director of director and see if we can come up with a way to prevent this in the future, because it is a problem when people think that there is a problem. You know, the perception is that becomes a reality. So I would ask that if it's possible to set that up in the first couple of months, it would actually be an appointment from your position coming forward. So it would be during your time period. Other than that, we'll move on to item 6A, resolution 2015-15. Unless I'm still wrong.
You're correct.
Oh, I'm correct this time.
We're correct.
Thank you. Attachment 6A is resolution 2015-15. This is amendment 2 to the TIP. This amendment adds two new projects and revises the funding for three existing projects. The two new projects, the first one is State Route 14 in Town Beach Road in Edinburgh Township in Portage County. This is a $1.48 million safety improvement project to that intersection with construction scheduled in fiscal year 2018. The other new project is State Route 91 and Prospect Street in Hudson. This is technically not really a new project. It was in the other, our previous TIP, and they had some bidding difficulties, so we had to move it into this new system, the new 1619 TIP. The three projects that have the funding revised are Frost Road in Streetsboro. We're adding CMAC funds to that project. Canton Road and State Route 91 is in Springfield Township and Village of Lakemore is getting some additional safety funding. And then the I-76 project, which is a major interchange reconstruction in Barberton slash Akron, is getting a total of $6.97 million in additional funding from federal and state sources. Staff does recommend approval. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
So moved.
Motion made.
One second.
Seconded. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same. Motion carried. Resolution 2015-16.
Resolution 2015-16 is a TIP amendment for Metro RTA at your request. Metro is requesting that FY2016 the TIP be amended to reflect provided private cost estimates and the reprioritization of their vehicle replacement schedule. For preventive maintenance funding in FY2016, Metro requests that the federal share be increased from $3.5 million to $4 million, with the total project cost increased to $5 million. The federal share will remain at 80%. Metro is also requesting to reduce their FY2016 purchase of vehicles from the purchase of 12 small paratransit buses to the purchase of 6 small buses. The project will be funded at 80% federal share derived from federal public transit funds. The federal share will decrease from approximately $1 million to $500,000. The local share and total project cost will also decrease. The total project cost will end at $630,000. Resolution 2015-16 is consistent with the Regional Transportation Plan, Transportation Outlook. It is financially constrained, air quality neutral, and meets requirements for public involvement in environmental justice. And the staff would recommend approval of Resolution 2015-16. We would be happy to answer your questions.
Seeing no questions, motion. Motion made. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same. Motion carries. Item 7 is the other business. It is the nominating committee. There was one name added and one name carried. Mayor Glenn Broska was the vice chair for 2015. He's been nominated to the position of chair for 2016. And for 2016, vice chair, mayor of Richfield, Madam Bashara, chair would entertain a motion for those.
I'd move to present the slate as presented. Approve them.
Motion made.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same. Motion carries. Congratulations.
Hey, I have a question. Are you going to have any open discussion on this agenda at all once in a while?
Actually, we passed new business, but we can go back if you like. I have no objection.
I would like to know, can I, do you mind?
Yeah. by all means.
I'd like to know how much revenue is Metro receiving from the Summit County sales tax annually. Because I kind of forgot.
I can give you that number in a moment.
This comes up every year. I'd like to know that. Sorry to hold up everybody. I also want to go ahead and mention I see a lot of buses running empty. And it concerns me, especially when we don't have, we've cut back on the buses out Franklin. Of course, we just don't have too many buses, but I've been seeing a lot of the buses going out in Green or other times when it's not rush hour. A double bus with nobody on it. And I just like to know. It bothers me, especially when a lot of the sales tax is coming from the suburbs. So you don't have to answer me now.
Well, there are a lot of reasons for that. And Metro's transit network has been in place for almost 50 years. So it started in 1969. And believe it or not, many of those routes have not changed. There are obviously some new ones that go out into suburban areas, but many of the routes have not changed. The times, again, the frequencies don't really match what the needs are today, and it's a very complicated process to adjust those routes. We can carry 5 million trips a year, and 90% of our folks are transit dependent. But the challenges have been the jobs and population have been shifting around, mostly the jobs. And transit is really slow to respond, but we are working on that right now. Again, we look at the region's transportation plan, and we try to adjust our plan in sync with that. Plus, we do survey research to find out where people want to go and when they want to go. But it's the actual scheduling of our service is complex because there's a software system that Metro has had in place for 15 years, and it's a very cumbersome system. But we are going to be updating our network. There will be a process to involve the public, stakeholders, users, non-users, elected officials this coming year, actually. We had a board meeting yesterday, and that was a topic of discussion because we found out that whereas 5 or 6 years ago we had 15 productive routes and X number of routes that weren't productive, this number has shifted now. We have 4 or 5 really highly productive routes, but a lot of routes are not as productive. So it's time to make some changes. So we are very aware of that and very sensitive to that.
Well, I think I've had some of those discussions with Metro. And a part of it is that the bus route is what it is, and many times it is full. You know, during those peak times, but it's still making the trip on a regular cycle, which they need to do. But in the off-peak, there might not be any. There was a commitment when the countywide tax was passed to serve the suburbs. And some of those empty buses are because they need to keep that commitment. In other words, you know, they've got to run a route to Green, they've got to run, you know, because they're paying the tax. But that may be better served if they didn't have to do that, if they were only on the on-call system or something.
We are seeing a greater demand for our on-call service for the seniors and disabled. The number that you're looking for is $44.190 million. That was 2015. We got all the numbers in just 2 days ago. And it's about a 4.7% increase over last year's cash sales tax receipts. And our budget is roughly about $46 million, so it's a very substantial part of our budget. I mean, it does allow us to do a lot of good things. I mean, you've seen the transit center that was built with local money as well as federal money. The average age of our buses is, the big buses, is 4 years. And thanks to this group, because we're able to buy buses on a regular basis, our small buses average age is 2 years. So we're able to provide safe service. But where we go is, and sorry, Mr. Chair,
no,
that still has to be adjusted. So we're constantly doing that.
And if it's like anything else, as soon as you get it adjusted, you start again. Because it's a dynamic situation.
And then the sad part, Eric, and you mentioned small buses, they just don't build small buses like they build big ones. It costs about the same per hour to run the big bus as the small bus. But you get a whole lot more years out of the bigger buses because they're built for it. The small ones, I don't know about you, but when we retire them, they pull them off the road.
I mean, there's a lot of discussion. I know they do their research. If you're in the suburbs and you want to take the bus to the adjacent suburb, in most cases you got to go back to the center hub. And so that trip becomes a very long trip then, and therefore you can't create a demand for it. Because when somebody sees it's an hour and a half to go 10 miles, you know, they say they're not going to take that trip. So when they look at their trip generation, they say, well, nobody's going there. So there's no reason to make the direct connection from one suburb to the other because they don't show any demand for it. Very complicated, but, you know, it is true that a lot of people might want to go from your community over to the Walmart or something. But if they want to get there, they got to go back into Akron and come back down Arlington to do that. And that trip is so long that they probably decide not to take the trip.
I'm curious. When you are getting these smaller buses, are these supposed to be for your times that you don't have the people on the big buses, or what are the little buses for then?
Now, they're dedicated primarily to the senior and disabled.
Oh.
And they also provide ADA service for people who can't catch the fixed route, and they're certified to get door-to-door service.
No, I was just curious. So the smaller buses, it's still going to cost as much to run them or not? Because I think if you could schedule some of those for the routes that you have time, no one's there. Wouldn't it be more profitable or not?
Not really, because in the labor, the operator is the biggest cost.
Oh, okay.
So.
And the fuel usage is very similar.
Right.
Good information.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question. Thanks for the answer.
We'll be back to this group, and thank you for that question, because I will pass it along to our board and reinforce the need for us to examine and make those changes to make the system more easy to use for people.
And we, I guess, well, I can say we for a couple more weeks, but we will be working on a public transit needs plan similar to the one that you approved on pedestrian issues next year. So I think that would be a good time maybe to continue some of the dialogue around public transportation. And like Richard said, Metro's got a good and ongoing process, and I think they are working really hard to improve efficiency and effectiveness of the buses. I've used it before. Now they have a system where you can text your bus stop ID and it'll tell you exactly when the next bus is coming down to the minute. And so it does give you the ability to plan your trips and not have to be kind of guessing or lingering at a sign. So I think you guys are making a lot of great improvements.
Let me just add one more thing. That software that tells us when the buses are coming and going also counts passengers. So we now have a different level of data that we've never had before. We can tell how many people are on a bus right now or between segments of routes, so we can really start to look at removing the unproductive route segments and scheduling our service a lot different. If you'd like to see some of the research that we've done that can shows which routes have been most productive and are becoming less productive, our website has a little section called Downloadable Information, AkronMetro.org, and you'll actually can find any board package and the material that we sent to the board in November was when we did that analysis. You can see those presentation slides.
Okay. Item 7B, the last item, is the approval for the 2016 AMS meeting calendar. Anybody want to put another 5 days in the year? There you go. Phone number. We do need a motion to approve it, so it's set.
I'll make the motion.
Motion. Second. Second. Discussion over the 365 possible days. Very good. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same. Motion carries. Thank you very much. One other item. Okay.
And I'll make this one brief, but as we were joking before, every AMATS director change due to a retirement
or a resignation. Since 1978, Gene Roberts has been the chair. And it's only happened twice, but he was chair back in 08 when we had the last change, too. So I wanted to thank Gene in general for his service, because he's been really a wonderful member of AMATS, including chairing multiple times. So I just, Gene, I just wanted to present you with this humble but hopefully nice-looking plaque, and thank you for your service in 2015.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you, too. I mean, per the discussion that we had earlier, having sat on a couple of committees now and then myself for other things, I know that it takes a lot of time and energy out of your schedule, and you all have full-time jobs doing other things. So I think on behalf of myself and the staff, we really appreciate the time that you spend around this table and many other tables with us on a regular basis.
Move to adjourn. Second. All in favor, aye. Thank you.